Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is born to you will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, is conceived in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. "Father, speak to us. Guide the message. Speak to me today in Jesus' name. Amen." Nazareth is kind of a small town, no place. It's a tourist area now. I've been to Nazareth. It's where Jesus grew up. There's churches and stuff, and a lot of people go through Nazareth now. But at the time, this was nowhere. When Jesus is calling the disciples, right, and one goes, grabs his brother, he says, "Hey, we found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth." What's the response? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Let's see, that's why small towns matter. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's the theology of rural ministry. Is, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, the Messiah came out of Nazareth. Came out of a rural, small town, no place. God's not looking for fame and fortune. He's not looking for the great and mighty and powerful. What he's looking are people who will be available to his purposes. Mary's a young girl, probably 14, 15 years old. All she had to look forward to was raising a family. Small town, nowhere. Joseph's a local tradesman, blue-collar worker. Pretty good carpenter, I'm sure. With what? What to show for their life? You ever dream about a different life? Dream about being somewhere else? Fantasize about what it would be like if you were famous, had more money, had a different life? That's Nazareth. That's what people do there. It's a place you go and you live there and you dream and wish you were somewhere else, anywhere else, but not there. If you have any ambitions, you might as well just let them die. If you're from Nazareth, because you're nobody from nowhere. But God calls a young woman in the middle of nowhere in some stupid little town. Right? It's like, imagine that the disciples coming, "Hey, we found the Messiah up in the hills of Tennessee." Man, you've been drinking moonshine. You ain't going to find the Messiah up there. Same with Nazareth. Like, seriously, Nazareth, of all places, the Messiah is not coming from Nazareth. You're crazy. He's not going to be found there. Like, no one of any significance comes from there. See, it wasn't anything about these two that anybody would have chosen. Was there? Just some girl. It's like going out to the park on a summer day, finds some random kid. Hey, right? God's going to do some great thing with you. Like, not here, he's not. Not in this town. Right? Just some average, everyday, ordinary person. And that's what God is looking for. People who are available to his purposes. What's the big craze right now? Like 23andMe and all the, and like Ancestry, all this stuff, right? Finding your DNA and seeing where you came from and seeing if you're linked genetically to any famous people. And that's Joseph and Mary, right? They're both descendants of King David. Both of them. but they're no royalty. My mom had some DNA testing done a few years ago, and we're genetically linked to Marie Antoinette and Napoleon Bonaparte. But I ain't no royal, and I'm definitely no Napoleon. I'm a little taller than Napoleon, too. On my dad's side, Admiral Nelson, who defeated Napoleon at Trafalgar, which is of no interest to anybody other than my own family. Nobody cares, right? Who cares who you were related to? Who cares who was in your ancestry? Who are you? Well, nobody. You know, okay, yeah, your ancestor was King David. What are you doing? Right? We all like to try to feel significant, ride on somebody else's coattails somehow to try to feel significant, but we're just nobodies. But that's who God was looking for. He looks down in a small town that nobody thinks anything about. And finally, when Jesus is an adult, they're like, seriously? He came from Nazareth? Of all the places, God would pick somebody. But rural people matter. All people matter. But God picked these small town people, not people from the big city, not people from Jerusalem, not the royal family, not the priests and the kings. Who did he choose? He chose this young rural couple to raise his son. What was it that made Mary significant? Why was she blessed among women? What made her so special? It's what she says. Let it be done to me according to your word. God, if this is what you want to do with my life, then you do it. Mary walked the rest of her life with the shame and stigma of being an immoral woman. Oh, because Jesus he's butting heads with the Pharisees in the temple one day. They're like, our father is Abraham. He goes, no. If Abraham was your father, you wouldn't reject me. Abraham's not your father, because Abraham knew my father. I'm your father. We weren't born of fornication, Jesus. We know about you. You're walking around here thinking you're the Messiah, but we know about your mama. We know what kind of woman she was. Don't you come around here with this Messiah business, Jesus. See, she walked around with a lifelong stigma and shame that wasn't even hers to bear, but she did it willingly because her heart was open. God, whatever you want to do, you want to tarnish my reputation, you go right ahead. I will do whatever you say, Jesus. I'm all in. And God is just looking for people that are all in. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, God. In the next part of the story, in chapter 2, we see the announcement to the shepherds. Right, God picks Joseph and Mary. The baby's born. And finally, to make his grand announcement, the Messiah's been born. Right? The angels go flying around out in the countryside looking for these shepherds. They don't go to the temple to announce it to the priests. They don't go to the palace to announce it to the king. They go out in the middle of nowhere. They're not even in Bethlehem. Bethlehem's 5 miles from Jerusalem. So it makes the story of the Magi showing up so much more like frustrating when you see the reluctance of the king to even just hop on a chariot. Make 5 miles and just, you know, it won't take you that long to get over there. It's not that far. You know, 30 minutes probably at the most. He's going pretty at a good clip. See, Bethlehem is a small town which is overshadowed by a big city, just most of America. Most people grow up in the shadow of a large city and they're nobodies. Right? And I hear the angst from all the rural pastors, right? We could have so many more people. We have so many people in our community that are church people, but they all commute somewhere else. That's Bethlehem. People living in Bethlehem just commute 5 miles up to the, you know, up to Jerusalem, to the big city, where there's more opportunity. See, God could have chosen Jerusalem to make that announcement, and that would have made perfect sense to us. But what makes sense to us is of no sense to God. And what makes sense to God makes no sense to us, because God doesn't do things in a way that fit with our rational mind. Because if we can explain it away, if we can explain it and figure it out and make sense of it all, then it robs God of his glory, because God does things that make no sense to us. Why would you tarnish a young woman's reputation for the rest of her life? And none of it was true. God, why would you choose shepherds and not go into the temple to make this announcement? Like, that would have made more sense to me. But God's ways are not our ways. And his purposes are not purposes, our purposes, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. See, God chooses unlikely places and chooses unlikely people. And he goes out into the middle of nowhere to send a large angelic choir to shepherds. Hanging out in the field in the middle of the night. Shepherds are just rural farm workers. They're important to the economy. There's a lot of hardworking people that are very important to the economy, but nobody cares about. They provide all the sheep necessary for the temple sacrifices. When the pilgrims come to Jerusalem, they go to these shepherds. They buy sheep because it's too dangerous for many of the coming from the northern part of the kingdom to come down and carry sheep, to make them walk that far. But just because they were important didn't mean that they were respected. Anybody know what that's like? Just because you're important doesn't mean anybody respects you. You ever felt belittled and disrespected, like you didn't matter, you didn't care? You worked at a job for a long time and felt overlooked and disrespected. But those are the people that God came to. The overlooked and the disrespected, to the ones that didn't feel valued, but God valued them. See, we waste our life pursuing the approval of other people when God wants us to pursue the approval that comes from heaven. Jesus tells us that. And as much as I appreciate appreciation, ultimately, I need to live in such a way that I know that God is pleased. Let it be done to me according to your word. Whatever you want to do, God, you do. Wherever you send me, I will go. Whatever you want me to say, I will say. But all through the scriptures, God chooses unlikely people in unlikely places to do big kingdom things. See, God tells his secrets to the humble and overlooked people, not to the great and powerful, who have no need of God. You ever met those people? They have no need of God. I have everything I need. I have money. I have a good job. Have whatever I want. I don't need God. But God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Don't discount your importance to God's kingdom just because you're a nobody from nowhere. Those are the people God is looking for. What have I got to lose, Lord? Take my life. And what a great adventure it's been for me. I've traveled more and experienced more since I gave up dreaming about a different life and just said, God, whatever you want. I've been around the world, all over the place. I've seen all sorts of things. I've experienced the presence and power and miracles of God in such a way I didn't experience while I was fantasizing and dreaming about somewhere else. And that's God's word to you today. Stop dreaming about somewhere else. He wants to meet you here. God wants to use you here. God wants to use you where you are. But so many of us get frustrated and dream about something different. Life is boring sometimes. Life gets frustrating sometimes. We want something different. We want more adventure. God's just like, stay focused. Stay focused. one of the greatest needs that we have in the body of Christ is longevity and persistence. People that will stay decades committed to the Lord. Later on in the story, they bring Jesus to be presented in the temple for a circumcision and to dedicate him to the Lord. And there's a little old lady there, Anna. Anybody know the story of Anna? Anna was married as a young woman, lived a handful of years with her husband, and he dies. She's widowed and moves into the temple. And it says for over 80 years, night and day, she stayed in the temple fasting and praying. For 80 years, or over 80 years, she's in the temple day and night, fasting, praying, seeking God. So God is looking for that. And then all of a sudden, near the end of her life, comes this couple. All sorts of couples came through the temple that day. Do you ever think about that? We read the story and like Jesus was glowing somehow, or he was the only one there. But all sorts of families pass through there. Lots of babies are born. Lots of babies are born every day. Lots of little boys needed to come to the temple for circumcision and to be dedicated to the Lord as good Jewish boys. All sorts of boys come through, and all of a sudden there was something significant about this one. Why? Because she'd stayed decades and remained faithful to God where she was. Not dreaming about getting married and having a family, not dreaming about some adventure somewhere. But God, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to seek you. I'm going to stay committed right here where I am all of my life if I have to. We don't need to dream about another life. What we desperately need is to say, God, I'm going to stay here. It's like that story of the circle maker, right? I'm not moving from this spot, God, until you do something. Not moving from this spot until you send the rain. I'm not moving from the temple until Messiah comes. I will die in here if I have to, but I'm going to stay until you send the Messiah. And for 80 some years, she's praying, fasting in the temple. We desperately need longevity in the body of Christ. We have such an age of distraction and bigger, better, and more. When God is calling us to less, that's what I preached about second service last week. You really should listen to the message. The safest thing you can pray is, God, kick out all the process of my life and set it all on fire and burn it up. Because I want my foundation secured in Christ. Whatever you need to do, God, and that's what distinguished Mary from everybody else, was let it be done to me according to your word. That's what was significant about Anna. She just remained steadfast. Year after year after year for decades to be used in such a powerful way at the end of her life. God is looking for people that just say, I'm available, God. Here am I. Take my life. So we're going to bow our heads for a moment. And we're going to pray. And then the kids are going to come and do a couple of special songs. Number one, if you need to give your life to Jesus today, you've never trusted in him as your Savior for the forgiveness of sins, and you need to do that today. I'll give you the opportunity to do that right now. Pastor, I need to get right with God. I've never been right. Okay. Trust that everybody here is right with God and saved. If you've been guilty of those daydreams, wishing and hoping and wanting something different than where God has placed you, and if you're willing, Lord, I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to stay committed for decades and faithful to you. God, you do what you want to do in my life. You want to tarnish my reputation, you go for it. But God, I want to remain faithful to you. Whatever you want. If that's you, Pastor, I'm all in. Jesus, you can have it all. That's you. Just lift up your hand. I just want to pray for you. Yes. And my hand is up too. Lord, here we are. We pray that same thing that Mary said, Lord. We're your servants. Behold your servants. Let it be done to us according to your word. You do what you want to do in our life. Help us to remain steadfast and focused. Instead of dreaming and wishing and hoping, Lord, that we'd remain faithful and steadfast for generations, for decades, where you have us. If you move us, you move us. If you call us to stay, we'll stay. But Lord, we're not moving from this place until you move us on. And I pray your people, God, would not move anywhere else in life apart from your direction, your divine leading. And give them the steadfastness of spirit to remain faithful. Like Anna, hidden for 80 years if need be, but doing such a powerful, powerful work that nobody saw. Oh, bless your people now, God. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If we could have someone go grab the kids out of the nursery real quick. Pastor Annie will bring them out. Just let them know we're ready. Thank you, Linda Sue. And they're going to come and do a couple special songs for us. And then we'll have a closing prayer. Don't forget, tomorrow at 4 o'clock is Christmas Eve service. And come and be a part of that. It's going to be a great time. And then Wednesday night, there's no service. Just be with your family. All right, here they come.
Here, we're going to do a couple songs for you guys. We have a Happy Birthday, Jesus is our first song. And then over here, we have this microphone. You guys got to share.
Jesus, I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights, the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. Bells and bells make the holiday swell, and it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. The holiday swell. Jesus.
Awesome job, kids. Thank you. Didn't they do a great job? Amen. Amen. God is looking for you. You serve Him where you're at. Don't dream about another life. Let's stay focused on what God has for you, okay? Lord, I pray you bless each one. Father, bless them as they travel, as we spend time with family and friends, that this Christmas will be a great, great Christmas for those that are hurting and struggling, Father, suffering loss and grief, that you just comfort them, Lord, and show them your mighty hand and your outstretched arm and your great love. And bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Have a great, great Christmas.